It's our pal David Amber from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Good morning, David. How are you?
Hey, Will, how you doing? We got a deep freeze here. It's a Calgary-like cold in Toronto. It's like minus 25 right now.
And the only thing you don't have there is you don't have the mountain Chinooks. So
I know.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Buckle up. In my face, I know.
Bundle up. Just take us through your thoughts watching the Flames last night, a building that used to give them nightmares. They win 6-0 in Anaheim, and I would suggest after I don't want to say lay an egg, but you certainly did not play the way you wanted to in L.A. against a lowly Kings team. It's a nice bounce back, and for a team that has, A, struggled with goal differential, and B, struggled, it seems like lately, of goal scoring. They scored 6 goals in 3 wins on that 4-game trip. I would say, all in all, a very good road trip for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, when they were good, they were very good. And when they weren't good, they were really bad. And we saw that against L.A., but what a difference, a day makes. It was impressive. Right off the bat, they kind of took control of this game. And I was surprised because I've seen a bit of Anaheim in the last couple of weeks. They were out here playing, Toronto and Montreal and Ottawa, and had a chance to take a closer look at Anaheim. And they were grinding out some pretty tough games. And they seemed like, even though they weren't getting the results, they were a team that were in games. And to see Calgary take full control and dominate start to finish was impressive. And also, there's a couple other bright spots. Mark Jankowski was in that incredibly horrible scoring drought. And to have him, now finding the back of the net, 5 times in the last, 7 games, that's great. And, Lucic, was much maligned with, the lack of physicality in the whole Battle of Alberta series and not dropping the gloves and everything else. He now seems, back and engaged and the physical presence that they were really looking for. So I think there's some really good signs pointing forwards for Calgary, and we'll see if they can carry that momentum into Saturday night.
Should be a fun one Saturday with the Chicago Blackhawks in town, and I guess just now a quick aside on them, because David, looked like they were making a push, but they have really fallen off here, and I don't know, again, the goaltending's still there, but it just does not seem to want to come together for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't think they were going to have much of a team this year, and they came out of the gate slowly, and then they really came on strong, as you said, and now they're sort of regressing back to maybe who they were at the start of the season. And the question, you brought up goaltending, that's the interesting thing to me. Leonard and Crawford are both UFAs at the end of this year, so it begs the question, what's going to happen with these two guys? Are they going to become sellers? Because, I'm trying to think of a playoff-bound team that could use a guy like Robin Leonard or even possibly Corey Crawford, and I'm sure there are possibly some matches out there if they're not going to sign these guys long-term. So, they're one of those teams that are on the bubble, but quite frankly, unless they're going to go on to a hot streak that would be really unexpected of, winning 18 of their last 25 games, they're not really in the playoff mix because there's just too many teams to climb over at this point if you're the Chicago Blackhawks. So, they're one of those teams, I think, that has to make a real decision quickly before trade deadline. Are we buyers or sellers? And in their case, I would have to beg on, err on the side that they're probably going to be sellers moving towards the trade deadline.
Speaking of teams on runs, and apparently Tampa Bay and Andre Vasilevsky will never lose again. They win last night 3-1 over Edmonton. Vasilevsky's got points in 20 straight. This team is 22-2-1, I believe it is now, in their last 25 games since December 23rd. Boston's trying everything they can to hold off of the Lightning, but is this kind of a lesson learned from last season? They started the slow burn early, and now are really hitting their stride. How scared or how worried would you be to face the Lightning at this time of the year and going into the playoffs?
They look like the best team in the NHL. They look pretty much like that team from last year at this point. So I would be terrified. And, here in Toronto, everyone's, really anxious for the Leafs to make the playoffs. And I'm thinking, well, if they finish third in the Atlantic, there's a good chance they're going to end up facing Tampa in the first round. So, welcome to the playoffs if the Leafs do make it. They look great, and that was part of their problem. They said the same thing that Calgary said last year, that they didn't face adversity leading up to the playoffs, and they weren't ready for the playoff adversity. So, that won't be the case this year, that's for sure. So, they faced adversity right off the top, and they had that trip out to Europe to start the season, and I think it took them some time to find their footing. But as you said, they've been the hottest team in the National Hockey League. And Vasilevsky, who won the Vezina last year, Will, I mean, he looks like he's poised to win that once again, a 31st win, and he's, what, 18-0-2 in his last 20 starts? He's been sensational.
He has been ridiculous. And don't worry, Leaf fans, you don't get Tampa, you get Boston in the first round. So go get him.
Poison, right?
Oh, it's just awful. Yeah, no doubt about it. Sticking with that game last night, just a thought on Zach Kassian, who will have a hearing today with the NHL's Department of Player Safety. I remember watching that live, and I'm going, did that really just happen? And yes, it did. Wasn't called for a penalty on the play during the game, but very much a kick to the chest of Eric Chernak. He's fresh off a suspension in that Battle of Alberta with Matthew Tkachuk. What's your read on Kassian and what the league might decide to do with him today?
Well, I imagine they're really hating this news in Calgary. I'm sure it's playing really well.
Yeah, our text line is just hating it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know what? It's inexcusable. You know, I have kids who play hockey, and one of the first things you're taught, even as a 7, as an 8-year-old, you never, you know, with your skate on, kick towards another player. You just don't. It's a dangerous thing. It's a reckless thing. The results can be horrifying. I realize Chernak wasn't hurt on the play. Nothing bad happened, but it could have happened. And we don't know what the intent was. And, you know, for a guy who exactly a month earlier, you know, sat down with the league and had to discuss the actions against Matthew Tkachuk, you know, it's not a smart move. It's a reckless move. It's a dangerous move. And I imagine the league's going to act pretty severely about this. I mean, he's waived his in-person hearing, so he's going to do it over the phone, but it doesn't stop them. They have the ability to give him 6-plus games, and I do feel it's going to fall somewhere between 5 and 10 games. I'm sure in Calgary some people might want it to be longer, and some people kind of say, well, you know, he barely pushed off. But you cannot project your foot in a kicking motion towards another player, period. So I think based on his recent track record, and based on, you know, how serious that problem could have been, you know, had that skate slipped up and caught him closer to the neck area and the face area, I mean, we're talking those blades are, you know, it's like taking a knife. You'd be stabbing him, essentially. So I'm interested to see how the league responds to this, but my guess is it's not going to be taken lightly at all, and I think it looks pretty bad.
He is David Amber, Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada, every Friday with us here on Sportsnet 960 at this time. A couple more for you, David, and just on that note with the Oilers, McDavid out, Kassian potentially lost for multiple games. If the Oilers stay where they are, they don't really drop off in the standings a whole heck of a lot. I don't know how much love he's getting if McDavid's healthy, but if they are able to stay where they are and win games, what does that do for Leon Draisaitl in the Hart Trophy conversation?
I think this is a big moment for Leon Draisaitl. I think he's showing he can carry, at least the first game without McDavid, he showed he could carry the team. He had 4 points in a victory over Chicago. And he's going to probably win the scoring race. It was sort of between him and McDavid. And with McDavid missing, you know, 7 to 9 games, it's going to be Draisaitl's to lose. And I think this is an opportunity for him to kind of walk out of the shadow of Connor McDavid. And a lot of the criticism directed towards Draisaitl, and some of it rightly so, was he was too, it was too incumbent on how well McDavid was doing to give Draisaitl success. You know, Draisaitl wanted to play on his wing, wanted to be with McDavid, and you can understand that. But he's shown this year, and even in the few weeks preceding this injury, he was on a line with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Yamamoto, and they've been the most effective line for Edmonton over the last 3 weeks. So I think he's really made a case for himself that he's a superstar in his own right, and quite frankly, he's got to be one of the finalists as it stands right now for the Hart Trophy. And you know, if they go and win, you know, half the games without McDavid or more, I think he's really made, you know, a definitive point that, hey, I can carry a team as well. So this is a big moment for him to really show what he's all about.
They're in action tomorrow afternoon, I believe, on Sportsnet. So that will be a 2:00 start in Florida against the Panthers. Final one for you, my friend, and some breaking news the last hour or so in the NHL. The timing is a bit curious for some, but it does feel like Bill Guerin just putting his fingerprints on this team is less than a week after trading Jason Zucker to Pittsburgh. The Wild have fired Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Bruce. yeah, you know what? I think Billy Guerin's definitely putting his trademark on what this team's going to be. And, you know, that happens quite often. New GMs come in and they want their guy, and maybe you know, there's some speculation whether it's Doug Wade or someone else that he has a close affiliation with will be the next coach. And, I Bruce Boudreau was kind of a dead man walking at the start of the year. Someone said, who do you think will be the first coach, like, on the hottest hot seat? And I said, Bruce Boudreau, because I just looked at that Minnesota team. They're aging. They're in a tough division. They're in no man's land. They're not bad enough to be the worst team, but they're not good enough to make any noise in the playoffs or maybe even make the playoffs. And I think that is a franchise that we're going to see retooling quite significantly in the next 2 to 3 years. They're one of the oldest teams in the NHL, and I think Billy Guerin wants to put, as you said, his stamp on it, Will. And will Bruce Boudreau find another NHL job? Probably, because he doesn't stay unemployed long. He's a likable guy, and I think he has a pretty darn good track record when you look at what he did in Anaheim, what he did in Washington, et cetera. This epidemic, I mean, that's now 8 coaches, right? We're into February. That's 8 coaches. Think about that. That's more than 25% of the coaches in the league have been replaced since the start of this season in the last 5 months. And if you tack back to the off season where 4 coaches were dismissed, and last year where 7 coaches were dismissed, that's up to, 19 of the 31 coaches have been replaced in essentially a year and a bit. It's unbelievable. So what do they say, right? Coaches are hired to be fired.
Yep.
So I guess that's how it stands for Bruce Boudreau. But I'm sure we'll see him again on an NHL bench in short order. So I'm not worried for Bruce, but I am interested to see who becomes the replacement there in Minnesota.
David, thanks for taking some time out on this love-filled day. We appreciate it. And have a great weekend, great broadcast tomorrow, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy Valentine's, and yeah, we look forward to some fun with the Hawks and the Flames tomorrow night. We'll see you then.
Cheers. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
There's David Amber.